The big debate over how the U.S. can pay for an operation in Libya when the budget is busted.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Tonight, President Obama will address the nation on the U.S. actions in Libya. American forces have been participating in a coalition air assault enforcing a no-fly zone there. There are political and legislative worries, and Congress is concerned about the amount of money the effort's costing. We continue our coverage of the changing economic landscape of North Africa and the Mideast. Lawrence Korb served as Assistant Defense Secretary under Ronald Reagan and is a senior fellow at the liberal think tank, the Center for American Progress. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Does the budget have the flexibility for an operation like this?
It has more than flexibility. If you go back and you take a look at the bombing of Kosovo, the bombing of Bosnia, or even the no-fly zone in Iraq for 10 years, we never spent more than about $2.5 billion. And in a Pentagon baseline budget that's over $550 billion, you have more than enough flexibility.
How is the president going to explain the cost of this to the nation, especially when there's such a contentious budget debate going on?
Well, I think he has to point out that in terms of previous operations, for example, in Kosovo, we did 75% of the bombing. Here, we're going to probably be below 50%. Even that is not a complete extra cost because planes fly every month just to keep the pilots in proficiency. We conduct exercises. The ships were already in the Mediterranean. So I think he can point out that this is not going to be overly expensive, certainly compared to Iraq and Afghanistan, and others are going to shoulder much of the burden.
Lawrence Korb is former Assistant Secretary of Defense and a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Mr. Korb, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, while the air assault continues in Libya, there's another army attacking Muammar Gaddafi's foreign assets. How does asset tracking work? Marketplace's Stephen Beard filed this report.
Here is an asset tracker at work.
I put it somewhere here. Oh, yes, there we are. Okay, so this is what you call an organogram, which is...
John Christensen is a forensic accountant. Displayed on his computer screen are the results of his asset tracking, an organogram.
An organogram is basically like a family tree, which shows how the different divisions of a company are structured.
This took several years to complete. It shows how a Russian politician siphoned money from an oil company and then disguised its source by passing it through dozens of tax havens, a process called laddering.
First step on the ladder might well be somewhere like Cyprus, where you have a high degree of secrecy, a low degree of regulation. Each step of the ladder takes you closer towards your final destination.
Like London, once here, the laundered cash can be safely invested in stocks, bonds or real estate. But tracking the cash through the tax havens, through a dizzying number of anonymous trusts, can take decades.
Just this month, Swiss banks froze accounts linked to Baby Doc, who fled Haiti 25 years ago. It takes a long, long time.
William Britton Catlin of Financial Investigators, James Mintz. He says asset tracking is so tricky because despots and oligarchs can afford the finest financial engineers to hide their money.
There are lawyers, there are advisors, trustees, fiduciary agents, corporate structurers, tax experts.
And a lot of them here in London.
London is it's probably the centre of excellence for structuring money.
In other words, money laundering. John Christensen despairs of the Brits ever putting a stop to this flourishing industry.
We love the money. The money comes in by the billions, and we tend to ignore its source.
The UK says it has frozen all Gaddafi's British assets, reportedly worth $1 billion. But, says asset tracker Christensen, that's surely just the tip of an iceberg of undiscovered loot. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are mostly higher right now. Asian markets lost a little ground today. Consumer spending was up last month in this country and grew at the biggest clip since October, thanks to cars and gas for those cars. Gift basket sellers Harry and David are filing for bankruptcy, affirmation that the high-end fruit business really got peeled during the recession. Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 50 points to close at 12,220.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The governor of Michigan will decide this week whether to cut jobless benefits in his state. Now, automotive bankruptcies and plant closings sent Michigan's unemployment rate soaring during the recession. Marketplace's Janet Babin takes a look at the debate.
Michigan recently passed a law that would slice jobless benefits from 26 weeks down to 20 weeks. Republican lawmakers say the bill would save businesses hundreds of millions in unemployment taxes. But the governor still has to sign the law, and Democratic Congressman Sandy Levin is hoping he doesn't.
This is such a serious backward step that we shouldn't give up.
The new law would make Michigan the only state to offer less than 26 weeks of unemployment benefits. But other states hit hard by the last recession. Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, and Indiana are also looking for ways to limit jobless claims and might adopt cuts of their own. Andrew Stettner with the National Employment Law Project says many states were unprepared for such high jobless claims.
There was kind of a belief that we wouldn't have severe recessions again. So states really stopped saving in terms of their unemployment insurance premiums.
Stettner says slashing benefits now could stall the fragile recovery. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, starting today, Russia is staying on daylight saving time all the time. No more changing clocks. When implementing the new plan, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said the time change had negative effects on people and even animals. He cited cows who were thrown off by the changed schedule of their milking routine. Please, think of the unhappy cows. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts and get the podcast while you're at it. And I'm on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Middle East is exploding, as you know, loudly and in real life, virtually too.
A lot of people were mobilized by the fact that they've been seeing what's going on Facebook. We became 50-200 in no time. In less than an hour, we became 30,000 people.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Revolution 2.0, and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.